verse 19 through 20, it speaks of a nation that would have power in their mouth and in their tails. And their tails were like serpents. So you have this nation who had power in their mouth and they had tails like a serpent and they breathed fire. And what does this revelation remind you of? A dragon. What nation of the world has a dragon for its symbol? China. Verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not for their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Now, 2 weeks ago, we went through the first trumpet and the second trumpet and the third trumpet. And once again, we understood that these were not literal soundings of a trumpet or a physical manifestation of sound. But rather, each trumpet was an event or a series of events that marked the sounding of that particular trumpet. And there are some trumpets that last for a long time. And I know right now the fifth trumpet that is sounding has been going on now for quite a few years. Almost 14 years the fifth trumpet has been sounding. And there are some trumpets that sounded for a shorter period of time, while other trumpets sounded for a longer span of time. And looking throughout the entire book of Revelations, and you have three elements of timetables and descriptions within the book of Revelations. You have vials, you have seals, and you have trumpets. Your vials is a very, very short story. Your trumpets is your little bit longer story, and your seals is the long story. But it's all renditions of the same events of time that take place in the history of mankind. Next slide. When the seventh trumpet sounds, everyone say that's the last trumpet. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. Excuse me, go to the next slide. Verse 4, Revelation 10. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. It seems that China will most definitely be involved with the sixth trumpet, seventh trumpet time frame and time span. We look at the tensions that are taking place right now on the world picture with Korea. We look at the tensions that are taking place in the entire area. And it's not all by mistake. The stage is being set for the sixth and final trumpet to be sound before the seventh trumpet, which is the final trumpet, will sound. The most terrible slaughter of all history is bearing down on us like a speeding freight train. The human race, we stand transfixed as though a deer standing caught in the headlights. We know there is impending doom. When 2 years ago China boasted and said, if you come against us, we will come against you with nuclear warheads. How many remember reading when they said we have 24 nuclear warheads pointed at the West Coast and it can reach major cities of the U.S. And if you come against us, L.A. will be the first to go. How many remember that? You see, how can you imagine this? The prophecy saying one out of three dying. I mean, how could one out of three people on the face of the earth be annihilated? How is this possible? My friend, it's not just a possibility. It is a certainty. It is going to happen. 8 million people died during World War I. Never before had conflict amongst any nations exacted such an enormous cost. 8 million people died. In World War II, 20 years later, 52 million people. I'm sure if we stood right now in that day and time and stood in a pulpit in America and said 52 million people are going to die with the sounding of this trumpet, there's probably some that shake their head and say, you're crazy. Never happened. In 2,000 years since the writing of the book of Revelations, we're standing at a point where we are going to see a day when 2 billion human beings are going to die. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Next. Verse 6. And he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But the days, in the days, everyone say, in the days, of the voice of the seventh angel. Once again, it's not a one-time event. It's a time span, a time frame, in the days, plural, of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Next slide. This seventh trumpet is the final trumpet. Behold, I show you a mystery, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 to 52 tells us, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trump. Which trump is that? That's the seventh trump. First trumpet sounded. Second trumpet sounded. Third trumpet sounded. Fourth trumpet sounded. Fifth trumpet is sounding. We are standing on the brink of the sixth trumpet. And when that trumpet sounds, my friends, you better get ready. What's the sign of the sixth trumpet sounding? It's when the river Euphrates becomes dried up. I showed you pictures 2 weeks ago of the Ataturk Dam in Turkey that was built in 1990. If a message had been preached in 1988 that the river Euphrates would dry up, people would say, you're crazy. Impossible. But this day, because the Turkish government built a dam to control the flow of the Euphrates River with one push of a button, the Turkish government could stop the flow of the Euphrates River. And within a few days, it would completely dry up. Why is the river Euphrates dried up? That the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. An army of 200 million men that would march to conquer that area. It was in 1991 that it was boasted that there was over 200 million men ready to move into warfare in China. My friend, the stage is already set. I'm not talking about a fairy tale. I'm not preaching to you tonight something that can happen 50 years from now. We are standing on the brink of the second coming of the Lord. Are you ready? Is the question that you need to ask yourself tonight. Am I ready for His coming? Because in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. It is vital that you have oil in your lamps. It's vital that your hearts are prepared. It's vital that not only are you ready, that your children are ready, and your family is in order, and that you've done what you can do to share the gospel message with as many as you possibly can. We must keep oil in our lamps. There's a parable the Lord taught. And He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Why were 5 wise, and why were 5 foolish? Let's look at it. They that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Next slide. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. In the original Greek, it said their lamps were going out. Has the ember of your love for God died down? This is a small little spark that you can't remember the last time you wept in the presence of God. You can't remember the last time God moved on you and you consecrated your life. I got news for you. It's time to make sure you got oil in the lamps. It's time to make sure my heart is ready to see Him. Well, can you praise Him? But the wise answered, saying, no, not so. Lest it be not enough for us and you, but go rather than that sell and buy for yourself. Next slide. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, everyone say, ready? Turn to neighbor and say, are you ready? Oh, help me, Lord, I want to be ready. Hallelujah. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Oh, but I sat on the pew at 3822 Cook Road, and I worshipped you. But was your lamp full of oil? Did you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Or were you just going through the motions? You know, sometimes you got to stop and ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I do what I do? Why do I go to church? Why am I a Christian? And that, my friend, if you can't get down to the bottom of the fact that there's a red, hot, fiery love relationship with Jesus Christ at the reason of that motive, then, my friend, you may have oil going out of your vessel. Your candle might be going down. It's not by chance. The Bible describes the Holy Ghost as oil. We need to be overflowing. On that day when Jesus stood and cried, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For as the Scripture has said, he that believes on me will sign the church roll. You don't say that? Maybe in the new intertranslated linear psychological version, it might say it. He that believeth on me will shake the preacher's hand and, woo, get a neat feeling. When you believe on him, you're going to have a scriptural experience. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. I'm not talking about a sprinkling tonight. I'm not talking about a slosh over experience. I'm talking about torrents, floods of living water that God can fill your life overflowing with. But can you praise Him right now? Next presentation. Come on, church, praise Him. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. I want to be ready. God, let my lamp be full of oil. Let my lamp be full of oil. Let my lamp be full of oil. Let me be on fire, ablaze. A flame. Amen. Praise God. Now we're going to go into our second session. I apologize, I didn't get to finish that first session last time, but we finished it. Hallelujah. Now we're going to talk about the beast. Everyone say the beast. And its mark. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't want to face the beast. What's the beast? Let's look at it. To look at the beast, we got to go back to the very beginning of the Word of God in the book of Genesis. And we find the beginning where it's called Babylon. Everyone say Babylon. Babylon has its important part in prophetic timeline and prophetic history. Babylon begins with a man by the name of Cush. Cush, who begat a man by the name of Nimrod. The Bible says in Genesis 10, verse 8 through 9, and Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Nimrod was not a nice man. Nimrod was evil. Nimrod was the man that was the inventor of astrology. Or, here's a better word for you, demonology. For all you horoscope readers. Oh, come on. You can't get up in the morning without pulling out your paper and reading your, hey, get your nose out of the horoscope section and get your nose in the book. And you'll find out what you need to know about what you need to do for your day today. Oh, come on, somebody. Nimrod. You see, all the psychics love Nimrod. Oh, Nimrod. Come here, Nimrod. That fake old Miss Cleo, she loves Nimrod. All the New Agers love Nimrod. Eric Estrada loves Nimrod. Ask him. Celine Dion loves Nimrod. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't you sit on me. Next slide. But Nimrod was the beginning of what is called the Tower of Babel. Everyone see the Tower of Babel? Let's look at the Tower of Babel. Next slide. Genesis 11, verse 1 through 8. And the whole earth was of one language. Everyone say one language. See, Babylon was spawned by the son of Nimrod. Nimrod's wife spawned a son called Tammuz. Tammuz became a Phoenician god. And it spawned what was called ancient Babylon. The government of Babylon, the religion of Babylon, and the philosophy of Babylon. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Everyone say, New World Order. I want you to remember that word. And they dwelt there, and they said to one another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. So here at the building of this Tower of Babel. Now, first of all, their whole reason for building the Tower of Babel was wrong. You see, all the people of God had turned from serving Him and walking with Him to serving the lust of their flesh. And so God had to come down and wipe out the earth, save Noah and his sons. And start all over again. But instead of living, let me tell you what, my friend, you don't live by this book, you're going to get deceived. I don't care what television evangelist you think's cool. If you don't love this book, you're going to get deceived. I don't care what you call yourself. You can be a brown paper bagger for all I care. If you don't live in this, God don't care what your name is or what name's over your church door. He wants to know, are you obeying this word? Are you walking in this book? Are you serving and loving me? If you don't love this book, my friend, you're gonna fall for anything. You're gonna fall for any false doctrine. You're gonna fall for any garbage that comes down the pike. You gotta love this. Don't you ever sit here and just let your Bible sit at home. You open this Bible and you follow the passages I read. Don't you just take it for granted. You search the scriptures and make sure that what I'm preaching is in the book. We got too many religions and too many churches preaching opinions and preaching modern philosophy. It's time to get back to the book. It's time to get back to the saving name of Jesus. It's time to get back to the thing that transforms. Oh, come on, someone, praise Him. They forgot what God said. He said, I'll set my bow, my rainbow in the cloud. I'll never again destroy the earth by a flood. Now, He'll destroy the earth, but this time it'll be fire. He's going to purge the heavens and the earth. Everything you know out there. All your Lamborghinis. Pink poodles on the diving boards, houses on the lakes. Oh, come on, somebody. It's all going to be bye-bye. Gone. You better lay your treasure up in heaven. You better put your treasure in souls. Hallelujah. They forgot what God said. And when you forget and you get away from the book, you start living life by reason, by human judgment. And they said, let's build a tower. Next slide. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name. See, when you want to build a church to make a name for yourself, tell you what, church, I don't care where God takes us. I've told you before, we may stay at 200, 250 forever. And I may start 50 churches in the area. I'll be happy with that. There's plenty of places in these churches. Well, God may let us grow to whoever. But if you ever get to thinking that you're all that, and let's make a name for ourselves, we're going to be in trouble, church. There's only one name that matters around here. It's not Pentecostal St. Joseph. It's not Brother Arcovio. It's Jesus. He's the only name that matters. Neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. 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 Let's make a name for ourselves. Lest we be scattered upon the face of the whole earth. The beginning of the new world order. Hey, Mr. Gorbachev. Hey, Mr. Bush. Hey, Billy Clinton. You didn't coin the frame new world order. Honey, the same spirits that spoke to Nimrod are talking to you. Oh, I'm going to get down and dirty tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell it like it is. I don't care who says what and what their name is. I wish it was on air live right now, going all over this city. The world needs to know the truth. Don't you sit and listen to the junk these people are telling you. They're lying to you. Don't listen to what CNN News is telling you. They're lying to you. You better look at the book. You need to get back in the Word of God. Don't listen to some democratic liberal media twist your mind. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise them. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. Next slide. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Say one. They have one language. One. And this now they begin to do. And now nothing will restrain from them which they have imagined to do. Go to. And the Lord scattered them. Everyone say scattered them. Abroad upon the face of the earth. And they left off to build the city. I mean, here they are working. One minute they're standing there and they're saying, hey, hand me a board. And all of a sudden, Nimzi says, hey, por favor, el burro. Is that how you say it? And some guy from East Tennessee says, what you want, man? You want a bar or you want a hammer? And some German, I'm talking about my bar. I mean, it was chaos. The Bible says their languages became confounded that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from upon the face of the earth. And they left off building the city. Next. Now, from this mindset of Nimrod and Babel came, belched out the spirit of Babylon. There are three Babylons. The first Babylon is geographic. Everyone say geographic. Geographic Babylon is located now at the country of Iraq. That's where the location of physical ancient Babylon was. Next slide. Second Babylon is government. Everyone say governmental. Everyone say New World Order. Now, Mikhail Gorbachev was the first world leader to come out publicly with the talk of New World Order. He did this 2 years before George Bush ever saw that kind of vision. In his historic address to the United Nations on December the 7th, 1988, the Soviet Prime Minister made this dogmatic statement, "Future global progress is now possible only through a quest for universal consensus in the movement towards a new world order." Let me tell you something. You sit in this church, you're going to be taught from the Word of God. You're not going to be ignorant. This world wants you ignorant. Government wants you ignorant. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm not anti-government. I'm pro-God.
I believe the best thing that happened to our government is for them to pray through. Repent and get off of their money hungering. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. My people are destroyed, the Bible says. You might go somewhere and someone come along and preach to you out of some little National Geographic. You walk in here, you're going to get the Word of God. And you're going to know. You're going to know what's right and what's wrong. You're going to, your eyes are going to be open in the Scripture. Hallelujah. That's right. You got to get, don't sit back someone robbing your tithes and offerings while they preach you out of a little Pentecostal playbook. Oh, come on, somebody. Get into the Word. Get yourself under a man of God that preaches the Word of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Just before leaving for Helsinki, Finland, early in September 19th, they don't want you to know about this stuff. They want you thinking, New World Order, oh, that's wonderful. How nice. What a nice sounding phrase. It's governmental Babylon, my friend. And it's cursed by God. I said cursed by God. In September 1990, they sat down and discussed the Persian Gulf crisis. And President George Bush expressed the hope that the foundation for the New World Order would be laid in Helsinki. Gorbachev followed that meeting with affirmation statements. Later, President Bush declared, if the nations of the world acting together continued as they have been, we will set in place the cornerstone of an international order more powerful than any we've ever known. George Bush had been a good and faithful servant of the Brotherhood. And as no one before him, he made the one world agenda his main focus. Thus, in 1993, the New World Order was established as a legitimate national agenda by a socialist Democrat named Billy Clinton. Globalists saw this as democracy's finest hour. Oh, give me a break. Democracy's finest hour. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Hallelujah. I hope I'm rubbing somebody just raw. Because you know what? That's exactly what we need sometimes. To wake up. Quit being lulled to sleep by the liberal agenda of this hour. That wants to rock you to sleep and take your children and make them prostitutes of the system of this world. He installed a socialist, new age, one world leader by the name of Billy Clinton, who had the charismatic appeal of John F. Kennedy to push this through. During Clinton's reign, the New World Order socialists publicly came out of the closet in the U.S. House of Representatives. The powerful and popular lobby called the Progressive Caucus. How many's ever heard this? C-SPAN, they ran it for months. They began to openly espouse their principles of socialism and signed onto the agenda of the Democratic Socialists of America. Right here in the good old U.S. of A. Bill Clinton's favorite answer to all questions was government. Got a problem? Bill Clinton's government can fix it. Lost your job? Sign up for an employee retraining program. Feeling a little under the weather? A visit to your regional health alliance will shape you up. Government controlled. Having difficulty raising your kids? Join our village because it takes more than a family to raise a child. Sound familiar? And oh, we suck that stuff up like a plate full of rotten noodles. Thinking how wonderful. How awesome. But my friend, it is the cursed Babylonian governmental process. The third Babylon, next slide, is the whore of Revelations. I'm going to tell you that the Bible says it. All right? And this is a whole other lesson. How many want to know what the whore of Revelation is? You got to come back to get that one. We're going to talk about that. But see, Babylon's going to be judged. Next slide.
Thus saith the Lord in Genesis 51, verse 1 through 3. Behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise against me a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her. What happened in the past month? What did our troops do when they went through the entire country? They shall fan her and shall empty her land. Again, these scriptures in the book of Jeremiah were written to God's children. In 1965, there were 128,000 Israeli Jews in the nation of Iraq. At the close of the Gulf War, of Operation Iraqi Freedom, they reported only 38. Sounds like their land got emptied. My friend, this book is taking place quicker than you can blink your eye. Every day that goes by, prophecies are being fulfilled. For those who stick their head in the sand, they'll never know it. They'll never hear the trumpet sound. Because you've got to open your heart to prophetic scripture. You've got to say, God, open my understanding. He said that in the day of trouble, they shall be against you round about, against him that bendeth and let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifteth up his brigandine, and spare not her young men, and destroy ye utterly all her hosts. Babylon will never be rebuilt, not according to the scriptures. Next slide. I'm going to skip by the great horror, because we're going to cover that in the next few weeks. I'm going to go all the way to slide 13. Right there. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman. Let me tell you something. You are going to be absolutely blown out of your seat when I show you religious Babylon. Not just, I'll have scripture to back it up. When I show you pictures that correlate what happens on major Christian scenes across our world in the name of so-called Christianity, oh, it's going to blow you away. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. How many ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Oh, you're getting hot. Hallelujah. Wherefore this, and he says, and when I saw her, I wondered with great. This harlot was so splendid, so enamored, that he wondered with great. He was caught up. And that's the problem if you're not in the book. You think you're grounded. You think you know Jesus. You think you can stand. But my friend, when the spirits of deception take off in this hour, if you don't know this book, you'll stand back. Wonder. John the Revelator, apostle, a man who was willing to die, but they couldn't kill him. Stuck him in a vat of oil and boiled him until his skin was hanging off. Couldn't kill him, so threw him in his excruciating pain on an island. You can't tell me that man wasn't dedicated, but when he saw the whore with all her wonder, he stood in amazement. You better get in this book, my friend. You better live this book. And the angel said, why did you marvel? Why are you caught up? He went over and wake up, John. John! Why are you marveling? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and out of the beast that carried her, which hath, everyone say, 7 heads and 10 horns. Now we're going to talk about the beast. Next slide. There came a beast out of the water. 7 heads and with 10 horns. Let me say the beast of Revelation 13 and the beast of Daniel 7 are the same beast. We're going to borrow scriptures from both correlations. I want you to write that down. the beast of Revelation 13 and the beast of Daniel 7 are the same prophetic vision of the beast of end time. Let's go to Revelation 13. Next slide. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having, say, 7 heads and 10 horns. You should write that down. 7 heads, 10 horns. It's important you remember that. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, which means they reigned. What are the 7 heads? And what are the 10 horns? The 10 horns are 10 nations. Write that down. 10 nations. It's important you know this to build the foundational blocks for what's going to take place in the next few minutes. And upon his head is the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Write down leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. Write down bear. And his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. Write down lion. And then there was a dragon, or another beast. The dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death, and a deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, watch this. Revelation 13 takes and joins in union what Daniel saw as separate in Daniel 7. Next slide. The beast at Daniel 7. Next slide. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel, a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Verse 2, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon a great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. John the Revelator, we brought them all in union. Here, he spoke of them as diverse. Next slide. The first was like a lion. Everyone say a lion. Now notice this. Once again, we're talking about nations. Everyone say nations. The first was a lion and had eagle's wings. Everyone say eagle's wings. Now remember that. Saw it as a lion. It had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings, therefore, were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet of the land. So he got a lion, wings like an eagle, and then the eagle's wings are plucked off. And then the lion, the eagle's wings are made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to him. Now stop it. Which nation has the symbol of a lion? Did not America tear itself free from England and stood up on its feet like a man? What's the symbol of America, Uncle Who? Hello? Hello, somebody? What's the symbol of America? Oh, now you're getting it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. Everyone say a bear. Which nation has the sign of a bear? Russia. Boy, you are so smart. You just got it all together. I probably don't have to teach this no more. Oh, you want me to go on? Hallelujah. It had three ribs in its mouth, and between the teeth of it, they said, arise, devour much flesh. Verse 6, next slide. And after this, and lo, another like a leopard. Now the leopard was Greece. We're talking about world powers. So he's seeing world powers at different intervals of times, nations. Which had upon the back of it four wings of the fowl, and the beast also had four heads. And dominion was given to it. And I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast. Everyone say the fourth beast. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, this is a bad one. This is a bad one. That's old song, Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. Long time ago. heard in the supermarket while I was shopping. Behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Which nation was represented by iron in the vision of Nebuchadnezzar? Rome? Who got Rome? You're right. Rome. Remember that. But he had teeth like an iron. Wasn't Rome, but it had the bite of Rome. It had the look of Rome. And it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had, I want to say 10 horns. Write down 10 horns. Now write down 10 horns equals 10 nations. Next slide. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, I asked a Jewish friend of mine, I said, you know, you understand the Greek and the Hebrew. I said, what do the horns in Revelation stand for? He says, easy, it's nations. I said, how about the little horn? He says, that's where so many of you Christians get off in left field. He says, how could all the horns be nations and the little horn be a man? It's not a man, it's a young nation. Oh, a little horn before whom there were three, say three, of the first horns plucked up by the sinner. You got 10 horns on this beast, 10 nations, one little young nation rises up and plucks up three of the nations. And this horn with eyes like the eyes of man and a mouth speaking great things. Who talks like America talks? What was that saying? Talk softly and carry a what? Come on, somebody. Now, we uprooted England and became 13 colonies. Boom, one horn. We uprooted France in the French Revolution. We got Indiana. We got Illinois. We got Ohio. Boom, second horn. Then uprooted the Spanish in the Spanish Revolution to become the United States of America. We never went to war again to gain land after that. We bought Hawaii and we bought Alaska. We warred against three nations that were here before us. Plucked them up, sent them home, and rose up and became a mighty force in the world. Keep reading. Next slide. And of the 10 horns which were in his head, of the other which came up, the little horn, on whom the three fell, the three nations that fell, even that horn had eyes and a mouth that said, you know what? You come and take Pearl Harbor, we'll end it quickly. Whose look was more stout than his palace. In a very short time, America became and rose to a world power to be feared amongst all nations. And behold, the same... Now, hold on, hold on. This is where you're going to stand back, and I hope I don't lose you, because I'm still in the Bible. You got your Bibles in front of you? I didn't twist this up here. Are you reading the same thing you got up here? Okay, as long as you know I'm not twisting nothing. The same little horn that pop, 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 plucked up three nations. The Bible says, made war with the saints and rebelled. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter to me whether you like me or not. I'm not out for a popularity contest. I'm not out to become the biggest church in St. Joseph. I'm here to do the will of God. And I'm here to preach the truth. One thing I won't do is I won't soft soap it, I won't sugarcoat it, and I won't snow you. I won't sit back and just try to get your money and your tithes and your money and your offerings and sit there and I'm going to tell you the truth. Let me tell you something. If you think this nation is just going to go on coasting along and loving the church, we are going to start facing persecution from the little horn of America like we've never, ever seen before. Now, so many people live with such a narrow scope of understanding. They live in the United States of America all their life and they think they take such freedoms and liberties for granted. But I've traveled in over 47 countries of the world. I've been to countries where it's hidden by the liberal media that more than 4 people are killed every week for the name of Jesus. There are parts of Africa people die almost every day, martyred for the name of Jesus. And we never hear about it. We're going to face persecution in America. The nation that gives the mark, the Bible says, the mark of the beast, would be Rome revived. The apostolic church of America will face persecution from governmental Babylon. You got 2 choices. You can stick with the book, stay apostolic, or you can jump on the beast with the whore and commit fornication with her. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks. I mean, everyone say Rome revived. I told you this last week. Give a look at your American Express card. What's at the top corner? What's that right there? Is that a Roman centurion? Most financial institutions recognize and boast that America is Rome revived, has the teeth of iron. Rome was a democracy. Let me tell you something. We live in a great nation, but democracy ain't from God. Ooh, I tell you what, some of you are sitting back going, whoa, Jack. Theocracy is what God intended from the beginning. Democracy is man-made. Rome, the people elected a senate. They had leaders that were not royalty, nor were they a theocracy. Rome, Italy birthed Rome, the city of 7 hills. Or you read in the book of Revelations about the whore from 7 mountains. Caesar had a senate and representatives of the house. Sound familiar? Hello? The symbol of Rome was what? Who knows? Come on, history buffs. The eagle. The symbol of Rome was the eagle. Ben Franklin wanted our national sign to be a turkey and they shot him down. I think that was half wisdom. During Franklin D. Roosevelt's term, he hired an entire panel of men to study the reign of Rome so we might survive and do better than they did. On your dollar bill, how many got a dollar bill? Get it and pull it out. On your dollar bill on the left-hand side, there are 13 brick levels on a pyramid sitting there. What's a pyramid doing on our national money? There's a triangle and eye. How many know what that little triangle and eye is? Guess who put that in? Good old Woodrow Wilson. Thank you, Woodrow Wilson, sir, for bringing Egyptian demonology onto a bill that says, in God we trust. It's the all-seeing eye or the Trinity of Horus. The Trinity of Horus is the Egyptian trinity of Horus, Isis, and Orchilius, or the sun god of Ra. We got it on our money we spend every day. In Fort Worth, how many like your brand new dollar bills? The big, ugly Ben Franklin with the big, bugging eyes. Yeah, you like them, honey. Send them your way, huh? In Fort Worth, Texas, where they print this new money, guess what? I've seen it. Guess what shape this building is? It's a pyramid. Our country is literally being run by Freemasons. Got any Freemasons tonight? If you're a Freemason, lift your hand. Thank God. Freemasonry is nothing more than demonology in disguise. The first 13 steps of Freemason, you don't even know what Freemasonry is until you get to the 33rd degree. Your eyes are blind. But the first 13 steps are simple. When you get past that, from the 14th step up into the 72nd step, it follows almost line for line, which you can find in Anton LaVey's book of the occult and witchcraft on the initiation of becoming a warlock. Line for line! All their symbols, all their secret signs. Our country is being run by Freemasons who believe they're ushering in the age of Aquarius or satanic rule. How many ever heard of that? That means the age of satanic rule. You see, these terms, they go, how cool. Smoke pot and peace and age of Aquarius. Hey, honey, that's the age of satanic. That's opening the door for Satan to come and rule in our world. John F. Kennedy and Ronald Reagan were the only two presidents not members of the Masonic Lodge besides Abraham Lincoln. How many of you have seen the five-pointed star, the pentagram? How many know what that is? That is the doorway that opens up for Lucifer to come into the world and to take up residence. Any occultist will tell you, any witch will tell you that. They know it. Now, I'm not throwing stones. I'm just telling you. The Southern Baptist Convention has 6 million members. 3 million of them are Masonic Lodge members. Where's our world going? I tell you where it's going, to hell in a handbasket if someone don't get up and start preaching the Word of God. Someone don't stand up and forget about popular opinion. Oh, come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. You ever pull out a map of Washington, D.C.? Let me show you something. Next slide. Look at our nation capital. In our nation capital, we have streets, they laid, the founding fathers who were Masonists, laid our nation with these cultic signs. You've got a pentagram going from the White House steps down across. You've got the sign of Horus, the Egyptian god, the triangle, and you've got the Freemason sign. You take the Capitol building, facing the Capitol from the mall, the left leg going down Pennsylvania Avenue, the right leg of Maryland Avenue, the square is found, the usual Masonic position. The left leg of this compass stands at the White House, the right leg stands at Jefferson Memorial. The circle drive and short streets behind the building form the head and ears, what any Satanist will tell you is the goat of Mendes, or the goat's head. That is the most powerful satanic symbol. And it's all through Masonic lodges. You drive by any Masonic lodge, you'll see these symbols. Occultic symbols! Our nation's run by these men. Sitting on top of the White House is an inverted five-point star or a pentagram. It faces north with the point down in true occultic fashion. It sits within the intersections of Connecticut and Vermont Avenues, north to DuPont and Logan Circles. The pentagram, or five-pointed star, is both a Masonic symbol and an ancient symbol of witchcraft, which its point facing down or south when placed in the ground is especially associated with Satanism. Satanists can be found wearing the inverted pentagram frequently, and it appears on the cover of the Satanic Bible and most black magic. In this form is the emblem of the Eastern Star of the Masonic organization. The Washington Monument stands in perfect line, the intersecting point to the form of the Masonic Square, stretching from the house of the temple to the Capitol building. Within the, I keep reading this. This kind of stuff blows my mind. Governmental. You see, our nation like makes you think that all these buildings have been dedicated to God in prayer. And they stand reamed with symbols of witchcraft. Do you realize that every key federal building from the White House to the Capitol has its cornerstone laid in a Masonic ritual and has Masonic paraphernalia placed? When they laid the cornerstone, they did an extensive Masonic ritual. And when they do these rituals, they dedicate. Now, this kind of stuff can make me mad. I've known preachers that got taken to jail for this kind of stuff. I don't care. I really don't care. Because I tell you what, this world wants you to sit back, wants you to be duped, wants you to be just a slide right in, to being just, so you just say, oh, a chip, a mark, how convenient. Not this church. You're going to know the word. You're going to know this book enough to know I'm not going to be duped by Satan's lies. When they do these rituals, they dedicate these buildings to the demonic god of masonry, Jehovah. That's the secret name of the Masonic god, or the lost word learned in the ritual of the Royal Arch degree. Jeho, Greek word for Jehovah. Bull, the rendering of the name Baal. And On, the Babylonian name for Osiris. I've got pictures next week that will blow you away at the September the 11th prayer service that we thought was so awesome. And standing on that platform is a warlock, a witch, and a pagan priest. We all sat back and joined hands in harmony and worshiped God. Yeah, but what God you worship? Freemasonry boasts 16 presidents, 41 federal judges, 60 congresses, 14 members of the Judiciary Committee, and 18 senators. Go on. The mark of the beast. You want me to stop? I can pick up now. Revelation 13, 16 through 18. He calls us all. Hang on. Are y'all cold? You hot? How you doing? You're cold. Pick them up, please. Bring it up to 70. He calls all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or as the original says, forearm. In the original Greek, the forearm represented from just beyond the knuckles all the way up to the elbow. That is the measurement of the forearm. And in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number. Everybody said the number of his name. Remember that. Write that down. The number of his name. Scott Silverman, and I got this from the San Jose News. Scott Silverman, the company president of Digital Angel. Remember that. Write that down, Digital Angel. Remember that word, the Digital Angel. Now, they changed your name because too many one God Bible preaching preachers have exposed them. So they're trying to, but I got their new name. I'm going to give it to you in a second. Hallelujah. He expects in the next 2 to 3 years, it will be a standard protocol for emergency room personnel to scan the right upper arm of every patient. Listen to me. Or you're going to be duped. Some fancy dancy slick guy come along and say, oh, try this out. The technology has already been proven by the Applied Digital System, or ADS, the inventors of the so-called Digital Angel. ADS holds patents on the chip, which are currently implanted in more than 1 million animals to track and identify. It's a little grain of salt, a microchip about the size of a grain of salt. they stick with a gun that goes right at the nape of the neck, and it puts it in, and it's there for life. And they can scan it and have up to 6 lines of text to read. Good Morning America, Inside Edition, and the CBS News all televised the much-hyped chipping of 8 individuals on May the 10th of this year. I remember that. The senior staff attorney for Electronic Frontier spoke out passionately, and it was Digital Angel. They had an implantable microchip that, once inserted into a human, can be tracked by GPS satellite and the information relayed wirelessly to the internet. So you think, oh, this is some kind of stamp 66. My friend, wake up and read your Bible. I don't care what Left Behind says, the series. Read the Word. This information is relayed wirelessly to the internet, where an individual's location, movements, and vital signs can be tracked and stored for future reference. The chip implant, listen to this, the chip implant is now required for all sex offenders in California. Palm Beach, Florida, based Applied Digital Solutions is now offering details on a rollout plan for Digital Angel, which touts as the first ever combination of advanced biosensor technology and web-enabled wireless telecommunications linked to the GPS. Potential applications include locating lost or missing. They tried to launch this back in 1999 and 2000, but they got processed. They got shot down. But it was September the 11th. What's the first thing President Bush got up and talked about? Implementing this system as a protocol for all kindergarten and preschool children to track and keep our children safe. Oh, it sounds so cozy. It sounds so right. And oh, such a tragedy, and it was a tragedy what happened September 11th. But it does not mean you got to throw the Bible out the front door and stick your head in the sand. Because this nation is the nation that will spawn the mark of the beast. The little horn that will persecute the saints of God. Potential applications include locating lost or missing individuals, keeping track of children, locating missing or stolen household pets, monitoring parolees, managing livestock. And now they've just changed their name from Digital Angel to PLD. I want to say PLD. Turn to your husband and say, remember PLD. Turn to your friend and say, remember PLD. Personal location device. Because this is nothing more than the system. Am I saying this is the mark? I'm telling you, it's the system that will support the mark of the beast. Next slide. Next slide. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It's 666. I was in a conference one time when a high up ranking official was preaching on 666. And he says, I got a coin here in my wallet, and you know, I got it. It's a new European currency, and it's a gold coin. And look right there. It's got, see, it's Mark of the Beast, 666 on it. And he's, dude, this is in front of 3,000 people. I'm sitting on the platform thinking, oh my goodness. Well, I went to him later on, and I said, sir, I see that coin. Why, sure, son. It's the mark of the beast. I said, I don't want to offend you, sir, but I collect coins. I'm into numismatics. And I said, that's not 666. That's 3 9s gold. It's telling you how pure the gold is, sir. Turn it around. It's 0.999. Ignorance! But my people, we're running around looking for 666.
Someone came along and said, www, Greek letter.
There ain't even letters in the Greek alphabet. Slash. Wake up and go to school. Greek and Hebrew don't even have letters. Numbers, excuse me. Anyway. Let him that hath understanding. See, the number is not simply three sixes. But 666, or 666. It's the number. Notice what he says. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 600. Did we say 600? Not 666. 600. Three score, which is 60. And six. But it says, let him count the number of the beast. You see, it can perhaps be six lines of text. You know, the Jacob's family, they were so happy, the first family to receive this implant. And they got on Good Morning America, and they were so happy, and we're so thankful for this, for we're going to be able to track our children now and keep track. And the beast, which is a system, sit back and laugh and say that. It's on its way. How do you count the number of the beast? Notice it's the mark of his name, the Bible says. Revelation 13:17, Revelation 15:2 says it's the number of his name. So the mark and the number refer to his name. We count the number of his name. In Greek and Hebrew language, there are no numbers such as 1, 2, or 3. The Greek and Hebrew letters are also numbers. For instance, it's common knowledge the name of Jesus in Greek also is 888. The number 666 indicates that the letters of the Greek form the name of the Antichrist, which will add up to 666. And there's a slim possibility that this name may actually equal 666. But see, it's useless to try to add this up because it will be a Greek name anyway, and you wouldn't know who it was. My friend, we are living in the last days. If you don't ever remember anything else this preacher ever says, don't you ever let somebody implant this tracking chip under you, your precious loved one, or anybody. Lift up your heads. Redemption draws nigh. And you sit back and say, well, not in America. We're safe here, the land of the free. Let me show you something. Skip the next slide and go to the next one. Actually, skip the next. Back up. We're going too fast. Back up. Did you know there are 600 consecration chants in America? How many do that? We have 600 consecration camps set up. They are fully operational, ready to receive prisoners. They're all staffed and even surrounded by full-time guards, but they are empty. Why doesn't somebody question about this? Why don't, what's your face on 6060 or whatever it is, go down there and investigate these dudes? Tell you how much free time I get. Oh, they got to go down and investigate every little church that they think's got a problem. They can smear Christianity. 600 fully operational consecration crafts, many of them equipped with gas chambers. Right here. Now, this kind of stuff could get me in trouble. You know what? I don't care. They are all operated by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And the reason the government has these camps is you're saying, should martial law ever have to be implemented in America? It's called the FEMA and the Rex 84 program. Operation Cable Slicer and Operation Garden Plot are the two sub-programs that will be implemented once the Rex 84 program is initiated. The Rex 84 program was established under reasoning if a mass exodus of illegal aliens crossed the Mexican border, they could be quickly rounded up and detained in these bases. These camps all have railroad facilities to transport large amounts of people quickly. They have airports nearby. The majority of these camps, 600 of them, can house over 20,000 people. We sit back in La La Land and we play church. Are you hearing me out there? They have an Alaskan facility in Fairbanks, Alaska that can hold over 10 million people. 10 million, my friend. A person by the name of Terry King wrote an article when he discovered some camps in Southern California last year. His findings are as follow. Over the last couple of months, several of us have investigated three soon-to-be prison camps in the Southern California area. We've heard of these sites. We wanted to see them for ourselves. So we crossed the desert in Palmdale, California. It was not operating as a prison facility, but it was masquerading as a water treatment facility. Now, why would there be a facility of this nature in the middle of nowhere with no prisoners? The fences that are around it run for 65 miles, and they all point inward. Not to keep people from coming in, but people from in getting out. They have large mounds of dirt and dry moats surrounding the central area that are not visible from the road. There are three loading docks facing the entrance that can be observed from the road. What are these massive docks going to be loading? People! What kind of people? My friend, Christians that refuse to bow to governmental Babylon. We observed white bands patrolling the area, and one came out and greeted us with a friendly wave and followed us until we had driven safely beyond the area. This facility is across the street from the Palmdale Water Department, and the area around the department has fences pointing outward to keep the people out of this area. There are signs posted every 50 feet stating, State of California, trespassing, loitering, forbidden by Section 555, California Penal Code. The sign at the entrance says, Pearl Blossom Operations and Maintenance Subcenter, Receiving Department. It's a guard shack equipped with machine guns located at the entrance. Now, next slide. Back up one slide. This is the camp just north of us in Minnesota. Camp Derrick. Next slide. Here's a map showing all the stars, mark all the locations where many of these major. This map is 10 years old. Next slide. Here's a letter from the Department of the Navy. Can't read it, but I can give you a copy of it. Affirming the existence of these empty, fully housed, fully manned prison concentration camps. Next slide. Fort Devens, Massachusetts. Empty. Next slide. Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Honey, you ain't far away. You're just a 2-hour drive from a fully operational consecration camp. Next slide. Right there by Rolla. Or Underwood. Leonardwood. Could you stand? So last times, my friend. Last slide. Behold, I show you a mystery. I hope to God the trumpet sounds before this takes place. I hope to God I don't got a face. I want to take my little boy tonight before I put him to bed. And I want to hug him and say, Jonathan, son, I love you. But you listen to Daddy. I can't ever tell you, don't you ever let somebody put a chip in your hand, put a chip in your forehead. You stay true to Jesus. You stay true to the Word. I would to God that the day won't come that we'll have to board trains on the outskirts of St. Joseph and be carted down to some camp somewhere. I hope that trumpet sounds. I hope the eastern sky splits. But this is why we got to have revival. This is why we can't sit back, church, and play church anymore. We can't just sit back and go through the motions. Just live on the fluff and froth of professional religion. There's a world that has no clue about this. That's being sucked right down the tube of the deception of the New World Order. The one world